You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
That's right, everybody. It is another episode of the Curb Your Enthusiasm podcast here on Post Show Recap, talking season 11, episode 3, The Mini Bar. Josh Wigler. I see Akiva. I acknowledge Akiva. I connect with Akiva. Akiva, how are you?
I'm great. We're like the two middle people at a dinner party.
Very clearly. Would you consider yourself a middler? You're like a middle person?
I think I am, if it's arrogant to say, but like, yeah,
it is. Like, it's kind of uncouth, but like, you know, that's sort of like the lot that we drew as middlers. Like, we have to like be the ones who are willing to self-identify.
If I'm at like some sort of dinner shindig and there's like someone who's like left out, then I like always try and get them involved. Although sometimes I found they don't really want to be involved, but I always feel bad for them.
Yeah. How many dinner parties are you throwing these days?
Not many, but also like really we do Shabbat dinner every Friday night and like that a lot of time if you have guests like that really turns into its own dinner party.
Is there a lot of like table dynamics you're taking under consideration?
It's
like
funny,
are you pushing past Larry?
At my mom's house, it's assigned seating. You know, she's like, you know, like at our house, no. But when you have kids, they're very into who they sit next to. They want to sit next to their mom or a certain person. So they're pretty strict about that stuff.
Yeah. Well, speaking of table arrangements, we are not alone. We've got two guests with us this week on the Curb podcast. Why don't you set this up, Keeve? Who did we invite over for dinner this week?
Yeah, so this is like... I don't know. It's like, I don't know how you'd say it. Like, it's
the most ambitious crossover of all time.
It's like when the Flintstones met the Jetsons. That's really what it is.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
So
which ones
pretty,
are we?
Pretty, I feel
we get
like
to pick
because
we're the only ones on the call right now.
We're the Flintstones for sure.
Yeah. You want to be Flintstones?
Are you Fred or are you Barney?
Well, I don't have like a strong preference, but if we were the Jetsons, I think I'd want to be Rosie the Robot because I'd want to be a robot.
Okay.
That's like the only character
there a dog
I've got.
In the Jetsons?
I haven't Astro.
Seen the Jetsons yeah. I'll be Astro. You could be Rosie the Robot. Though.
Okay, cool. All right. So we've claimed Jetsons and who are we bringing in as the Flintstones?
All right. So from a real Curb podcast, the pretty, pretty good podcast, it is Alex Chester and Av Sinensky.
Oh
two real Curb podcasters coming to school us on this week's episode.
All right. Coming in for the all you can eat hot dog competition, Chester and Av.
We just have to come here in person because otherwise we would have missed the disappointment on your face.
It's a good thing, Chester, that podcasting is an audio medium.
Yes. I like normally our podcast is J to J and yours is J to J. So I guess tonight we are J to J to J.
Yeah, we're like four J's.
And we picked the right episode for that, I think.
Definitely.
Yes.
Cause like we can, like all four of us can say Julu. Like that's okay. Like we can do that. You out there listening might not be able.
Able to say. A lot of them probably can, but some of them can't.
But some of you can't do that. Some of you are not allowed to do that.
Is it illegal for me to ask if anyone all in here is Jewish?
Yeah, I think, like, you know, we're in a safe space. Safe space. I think everyone here is okay with that.
I don't know how familiar you are with Elon Gold, Josh, who plays the head of Hulu.
No, not at all.
But I like, he is very, like, if you need, like, a comic for, like, a Jewish school, he's your first call. If you need, like, he is, yeah, like,
I've heard him. I've heard him at Jewish, like, as, like, the guest at events at least six times in my life.
Yeah. He is. That is his whole job.
It's, like, him and like, it's him, Modi. They're the him two. And Modi.
There's another guy, Modi, who does, like, the Comedy Cellar a lot. Is a little bit more like.
So was that like there an in joke of... when Larry is like, is he a stand up? Like, is this, does he do? Is this his shtick?
Yeah, he is a stand up. Yeah. But he was, doing like Borscht Belt comedy in this one.
And we need to ask him, and perhaps we will on our podcast. How much of what he, so for example, he named Barry Weiss. I'm positive that Larry David has no idea who that is. I don't know.
No idea.
Yeah. But that, that was
by the way,
goal
very, very fortuitous day to mention Barry Weiss. She's like trending all over Twitter.
Yeah. Oh, she's starting a new Trump University or something, right?
She's trying to trade on her new Curb notoriety.
Yes. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
We should start a podcast in college.
32 fans.
That's an interesting idea. Is like an actual,
but like not a real one, the very Trumpy one where we just take people's money and run.
Right. It's called patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Is that
what you do? Is that just a podcast in college?
Well, we're trying out some courses. Maybe some summer school coming your way. We have to. That's a stretch goal. We haven't quite achieved that yet. Chester and Ob, for people who are on the post show recaps feed, because this episode's going to cross post onto the pretty good podcast. What do you all do over there? Why should people be like running away from our podcast and going towards yours? Let's start the exodus.
Well, first of all, there's room for both of us, of course.
Is there? Right?
There's no more. It's not like the olden days when you had strict limitations. You could only listen to two podcasts or one podcast a
week. How
many
Curb
podcasts
are 30-minute Curb episode. Out there? Is this a really crowded space?
I'm aware of four in total, two of which are ours. Bill Simmons and House do one for The Ringer.
Wait,
and then
who's that, Bill Simmons?
Yeah, I don't know. He's some guy.
And then, there's that other one, remember, Av, that wanted to do a crossover with us?
Yeah, there's like a podcast called The Curbcast that's also covering this season. I haven't seen anybody else. So I think it's just the four of us.
Jeff Garth said he was going to start one, but he hasn't done it yet.
Keith, no one else has contacted us to do the crossover.
Yeah, nobody's like, do you want to do a crossover? Jeff Garland used to have a podcast, and it was just like him interviewing people in front of a live audience, and he always seemed very mean, and then it's not.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a good idea for a podcast. Maybe Terminal 4 Wisdom would be good.
Oh no.
Yeah.
So we've been covering Curb since the beginning of 2020. We've covered the first 8 seasons, and then we decided to jump ahead to season 11 since it would seem silly to not cover a new season of Curb while it was airing. We've also done a bunch of bonus episodes, including we did a Curb brand steal with the great Mike Bloom and covered some other Larry David projects. So if you're a Curb fan and you want to catch up on our back catalog, there's about 85 to 90 episodes of there for you to listen to.
Are you going to go back to the seasons that you haven't covered yet?
Yeah, after we finish 11, we're going to go back and do 9 and 10. And then we'll see. Then we'll see.
Like, no break. Like, 11 will wrap and you'll just go back in time?
Maybe we'll do a bonus episode or two in between to bridge the gap. But, we're
going
to
ride no weeks off. No weeks off.
No weeks off. We have,
if they don't hurry, you know, season 12 in 2025 will be out.
It's possible. You never know.
We're going to have a lot of bonus episodes between
Where do people find the podcast? Give, like, the shout. Give the plug.
Yeah, so we're on every podcast platform, you know, Apple, Spotify, Pocket Cast, all the rest. We're called Pretty Good. You can email us at curbpostman@gmail.com if you have any questions or comments on this episode, next episode, past episodes.
Larry David was technically on the podcast, right?
Yeah, technically. We did an episode with Jeff Schaefer, the showrunner, for season 7, episode 10, the finale on the Seinfeld reunion. And while we were talking to Jeff, Larry popped his head in. So that was super fun.
That's amazing. We do not have that pedigree yet, but we're looking for it.
If we're lucky, we'll get, like,
well, we, for all we know, Larry might poke his head into Akiva's, you know, background, but
Akiva, yeah, Akiva has so. Camera off, so you could say, Akiva, that you've got LD in the
Larry's
house.
There right now, yeah,
yeah, yeah,
it's we have no way of knowing.
This is the mini bar, episode 3, season 11. I guess I was high on the 5 foot fence, I was low on Angel Muffin.
Where are we going?
I would put this like a scooch above the 5 foot fence. I thought this was bounce back.
Yeah.
Wait, so you have this as the second best?
No, I think this is my favorite of the season.
Yeah, I agree. This is the best of the season. Yeah. I laughed out loud. I LOL'd multiple times, which I did not do last week.
LOL, Larry.
LOL, Keevy. LOL.
Chester, this thumbs up, thumbs down. Where are we at? Also, just like for the post show recaps, people, like, overall takes on the season so far as the Curb historians.
So yeah, so I'm kind of with you on the first two episodes. I thought the first episode was solid. I enjoyed myself. Some of that was just like, hey, it's awesome that there's new Curb on TV, and like, I'm just like ecstatic. I was just like dancing to the Curb theme song when it came on for the first time. Last episode, I thought was pretty horrible. We actually, you know, with our cumulative score with the audience, kind of like the same thing that you and Mike do on Down the Hatch, we actually had it ranked as the worst episode of Curb ever.
Yeah,
that's where the numbers came in. I absolutely love this episode. I'm not going to say this is like you know top 5 or top 10 all time, but like, I was laughing out loud from beginning to end. I thought there was tons of iconic stuff in this episode. Just basically, I thought this episode worked from beginning to end. So I'm super high on this episode. I'm really pumped to be here to talk about it.
Chester, was Angel Muffin the worst episode of Curb, you think?
Well, it wasn't my ranking worst.
You're just reading the data.
Yeah, exactly. I had Angel Muffin as the 5th worst episode on my personal list. Although, remember, we haven't ranked seasons 9 and 10 yet. So, out of the 84,
it wasn't
episodes,
aggressively bad, though. It was just nothing, I think. Like, there are episodes that are
aggressively
worse.
Curb is never
worse.
Aggressively bad. Like, you know.
Yeah, but just, I'm saying it
wasn't good. It was too long. It needed to be edited. And then, but I also had the 5 foot fence as a bottom 10 all time episode. So yeah, it's tremendous bounce back here. Look, much like, you know, Sports Hall of Fames, you got to give it 5 years. I think you got to give an episode of Curb, you know, like a bottle of wine, you got to let it breathe. But yeah, this is definitely a very, very good episode. You know, a top quarter, I'd say, a top quintile at lowest.
What was it for you, Akiva, that bounced this one back? Like, did it feel like it had like sort of like clarity of focus? Was it just that the jokes were popping?
Yeah, I thought that there, you know, it was just two setup episodes in a row. We thought it'd be one setup and then boom, it wasn't that at all. This episode really tied things together, moved the plot along, made me realize like, oh, we're probably going to go to 6 different streaming sites and other places for the show during the season.
Streaming draft, by the way, by taking Disney.
You picked Hulu.
I picked Disney with the idea that like Disney's going to take Disney Plus, Disney's taking Hulu. Mm-hmm. I feel like Disney too big to fail.
Yeah, that was a great pick. I do think usually comedy does not work in twos, so I do think we'll see at least one more place.
I think
where the
HBO
show goes.
Is still a good stopover.
HBO's
got
to
be in the mix.
Yeah. It could be like,
well,
you
I think
know,
finish
like
there now.
A junky streaming site, you know, could be next, like
Tubi,
you know,
Vudu,
some Funkhauser Vision or something.
Crackle.
Next,
but
like, yeah.
They're just going to be playing on like they're going to have Maria Sophia is going to do like the welcome video at the new Funkhauser Hotel. Like that's how far this will fall.
Maybe it'll be the entertainment for the new hotel.
Right.
Like that's
exactly.
It'll just be like hotel only.
Yeah.
That would be funny. Yeah. Like our show is live on Marriott Vision and that's it.
Punk Vision. Yeah.
I thought Maria Sophia was really great in this episode. Yeah. That was a really funny scene.
Yeah. She's a revelation.
Things I like, didn't love, but yeah, that was great. It's funny because the things that make her so bad in the show, you realize like, oh, she's probably killing it on set, like doing these completely nutty things to get laughs and like making such huge choices.
Yeah.
How much of that is these are her instincts versus like it's direction of, do you think? Like, do you think that this is all born, this is why she was cast, because she just has like sort of like this next level, like
this quality.
The Exorcist, like demonic possession thing that she's got going on?
Yeah, she must have shown something, because she has just this like incredible quality of like you want to look away but you can't, just like a car crash.
Yeah.
And she's just like knocking it out of the park. I mean, she's just like absolute gold. I don't know where they found this person, but I hope she's in every episode.
Larry went to his friend's daughter's performance,
right? Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, and I think, you know, Josh, you ask an excellent question, and hopefully I'm pretty good. Maybe we may get an answer later on in the season. Like, it's always the question we want to know with some of these guests on the show is how much of it is on the page and how much of it are they bringing to it? Because she makes, as Akiva said, she takes huge swings in totally random, weird, unexpected directions. Like, you have no idea what she's going to do. It's, you know, like the Tyson zone, as some say. It's really incredible. But I think, like, the reason this episode was so good to me is because everything really made sense. It was buttoned up. Like, you know, some of the episodes this season, last season, without the minute or 27-minute, whatever, you know, traditional restriction, have been a little too long and meandering. This episode was not. There was no minute of this episode when I wanted it to end. The physical humor of the fight between Maria, Sophia, and Cheryl, and then the Ted appearance. I mean, Av and I had been speculating, is Ted Danson still dating Cheryl? We found out in the most hilarious way possible.
It was a great reveal. It was really, really unbelievable. Great that, like, Akiva, when they mentioned, like, Ted for the show at Hulu, like, I feel like, okay, all right, so they're seeing, like, a return of Ted Danson, but, like, did you have it on the bingo card that he would just, like, show up on tape, like, you know, just, like, getting into the rumble with Maria Sophia? Like, that was so far from my mind when it happened that it was, my wife and I just, like, exploded with laughter in that spot.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
It's so great because when Larry walks into Cheryl's house, he and by the way, how amazing when Maria Sophia is like, wow, you really took him to the cleaners. That was funny. So when Larry walks into Cheryl's house, she's like, oh, no, come in. It's like, oh, that's the tacit admission to the listener, to the viewer, that, like, oh, Ted is not here. Ted doesn't live here anymore. So then they're like, you know, it was like Lost-ish. It was like, wow. Yeah. A third act reveal. That was amazing. What's the least realistic part of that? That Cheryl, who, as far as we know, had no connection to Hollywood whatsoever for 11 seasons. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong. Is all of a sudden an acting coach in her own house?
No.
Probably not a good idea in 2021. But
she was a former actress who had been on the Vagina Monologues, who had also been on Seinfeld Reunion.
Well, she wasn't in the Vagina Monologues. She lost the part. But
She lost the part. But
okay, she was an actress.
She probably got the role in the Seinfeld Reunion because Larry, like, you know, like
Jerry didn't know that
through.
She acted like Akiva.
He pushed it through, and so, like, this is clearly, like, this is what happened next. Was, like, her level of success beyond that. Was she was able to open up an acting coaching gig inside her house. Like, this is sort
of
like,
and I have
you go on Survivor and then you make money signing autographs at conventions.
Av and I have learned that being an acting coach is pretty much the go-to job for failed actors. Like, everyone who was on an episode of Curb 8 years ago and then we can't really find them, we always end up Googling and finding out, oh, they're an acting coach now.
Yeah, because working actors, for the most part, like, just stay working actors.
Right.
I know this is, like, getting ahead, but we could also ask ourselves, like, Cheryl sending that full tape in like without any explanation, without any editing to Hulu of the fight where she's being assaulted.
This is what it is.
like, did Maria Sophia send this in? Did she, like,
I want to believe it was Danson. I want to believe that, like, Ted was, like, so taken by the whole experience, just, like,
or
totally
maybe he's
delighted.
Trying to, like, screw over Larry by sending this in.
No, that was my, yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah.
I think Cheryl's pissed at Larry for sending this maniac to her house. And she's like, I'm going to fuck you over
theory.
And screw your show.
Yeah.
That's a good theory.
Well, what's going to bomb it for Hulu? Because I think we all agree, like, this won't last at Hulu. But Hulu is enamored of Maria Sophia. So what's it going to take do they just actually have to meet her and then they'll know they got it wrong?
Yeah, I think it'll take about 8 seconds, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to guess that over-the-top Jew Elon Gold is going to, you know, get into conflict with Larry at some point over something.
I mean, like, I love when, like, Larry's, like, literally telling him, like, no, this isn't acting, this is real. She really thinks she stole her jacket. She's really assaulting her.
Yeah. What I don't know where that's gonna go. Like, I'm very concerned for, like, they were home free. They had given the terminal wisdom to Maria Sophia's father. He was ready to drop the dream. He was ready to put waffles on the menu. They were home free, Akiva. It's done. Like, now, like, they're stuck in it.
Yeah, I don't. But I want to ask you guys a question before I forget. And everyone has to be honest.
Yeah.
How many hot dogs do you think you could eat in a hot dog eating contest?
I think I could get to 10.
I was going to say 10, too. That was my number.
I think I can
and
get
it's
to
12 10. Minutes, I think, or 10 minutes now. I think they shortened it.
You think in 10 minutes?
Yeah, well, that's how long the July 4th contest is, 10 minutes now.
I want to see if I could do a hot dog a minute.
Right, the bun is the big factor.
HDBs.
Right?
Yeah, it's hot dog bun. You got to eat them all.
The bun is what
that's what the water's for. You soak them up. Yeah, that's, and you right, just like sort of like swallow them.
That's the Takayashi method, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
Kobayashi. Yeah, I think I could only do 6 or 7.
Yeah, I think I could get close.
We do a hot dog eating contest every fall on the Jewish holiday of Simchat, my friends here.
You do?
And well, I don't personally do it, but my group of friends does. So
you're the judge. You keep the spreadsheet.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And so this year what happened is unfortunately one of the entrants was late. It was kind of my fault because we went to another party beforehand and we were too late. So by the time we showed up, we had missed the hot dog eating competition. So it was very controversial. So the guy who won the first one decided to do like he entered a second tournament against the guy who showed up late. And the guy already with a stomach full of hot dogs for the first one 45 minutes earlier won again.
Wow.
Which was very impressive.
Yeah.
That's very impressive.
So my answer is it's lower than you think. Like you think 10, but mm-hmm. I think like at 8, all of a sudden you want to murder yourself.
But I mean, yeah. I could eat a whole pizza pie, you know, like I could definitely
yes,
do it.
But
like,
hot dogs, they take so much longer to chew.
But the 10 minutes, yeah. I think, is the challenge.
The 10 minutes right? is key, right? If you have, the, you have
only,
unlimited time.
We can only 10 hot dogs in an hour and a half.
Definitely. No
but,
question.
Right. But 10 minutes is the challenge, I think.
A hot dog a minute is very rough.
Hot dog a minute is a tough pace. Like, you really got to keep pace at that point. Yeah. You definitely got to train for that. It's that, like, that I don't take lightly. Like, obviously, you got to do, like 5K dog eater or whatever. You know, like, you got to.
Is this the next 32 fans that
Power hour with hot dogs.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, Josh, I had two questions. That was one, and the other one was, how, like, Patton Oswalt does not play himself in this episode.
No, and I was surprised by that. It took me a minute to realize that. I was, like, a little thrown off. It's like, Patton Oswalt, I think, is, like, it's sort of like Vince Vaughn. You're too famous to not be playing yourselves.
And Vince Vaughn, yeah. So the rule usually is if you're, like, ex-famous, you play yourself on Curb. And it's like, okay, it's not unreasonable that Vince Vaughn would be at a table with Larry. But they both are playing random people. In Patton's case, I believe it's someone we've never met before, his business manager.
Yeah, I think he's his accountant, it seems like.
Yeah.
They use their business manager, but we've seen many business managers before. Now, I'm going to disagree. I don't think he's too famous. Last season, Fred Armisen played a character. Nick Kroll played a character. Rebecca Romijn played a character. These people are all like Patton Oswalt level fame. Paul Scheer played a character.
I thought Vince Vaughn is more famous than everyone.
The bar has definitely risen over Vaughn, the years. Sure. Like early on in Curb, it was very clear that if you were like remotely famous, you played yourself. And now we have these guys who are clearly very famous playing characters. We have a whole system on our podcast with we have the Ted Danson Club for people more famous than Ted Danson that play themselves, and the Richard Lewis Club for people less famous than Richard Lewis who play themselves.
That's good. These are all people that we're talking. Patton Oswalt's in a different club then. Like, he's not more famous than Ted Danson.
No, definitely not.
But to Off's point, I think the first person who was really, really famous to play a character and not themselves would be Ed Asner, and that was in season 2, episode 6. Yeah. So for the first 16 episodes, if you were that level of fame, you played yourself, and then they But I think Patton Oswalt is right in the meaty part of the curve of where people are.
I was taken out by it a little bit, but then I got on board, and then I quickly refixated on I hate Vince Vaughn being on the show as a Funkhauser. Just like doesn't work for me, and I was like Keeve, like things are happening as we're like watching the episodes and then doing podcasts where I'm like, oh yeah, I remember takes from the podcast that we did before. Like it started like, you know, like state dependent memory stuff. And like I'm like having all of the flashbacks. Like Vince Vaughn as a Funkhauser just doesn't work.
He's not goofy at all. He's like a straight man. Why have him as a Funkhauser? It makes no sense.
Yeah.
You're on the other side of this one, right?
I think I agree. I mean, I definitely prefer Albert Brooks as a Funkhauser than Vince Vaughn, although he's not a Funkhauser.
Funkhauser should be
himself.
Like the nuttiest people on the whole show.
Should not
be like Vince Vaughn is like goes along with Larry's Michigas.
Yeah, although I do love the idea.
We got to retire the Funkhausers. Like, if we cannot have Super Dave, like, if Marty Funkhauser is gone, rest in peace, like, that should be it. Like, you're not going to top that. So, like, you can't, like, go, like, even a lateral move is not going to be enough. And then, like, I think you're aiming, like, on a casting level higher with Vince Vaughn. And, like, it's, like, the exact wrong effect. I don't know. Feels not great. Not great, Bob.
I'm going to surprise myself here because listeners of Pretty Pretty Good know that I am definitely not a fan of Vince Vaughn in general and certainly not a fan of him as the new Funk Man last season or this season. But I actually really liked him in this episode. I laughed so hard at the word Funkhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. He wouldn't be my first choice, but I thought he did a fun job in this episode.
Yeah, the branding there is a little tricky. I mean, people might show up and expect like this is like some sort of like James Brown like music club, but
yeah,
you know,
but I
guess
mean,
you
like,
got to roll with that.
We can't bet against him. You know what they told him about the mattresses,
right?
Go through. But like, we're foolish if we bet against any Funkhouser, probably. Mm.
Yeah, and I'll say that one of the things that I really loved about this episode is the whole, like, Larry being tasked with the job of creating the mini bar for the Funkhouse is, like, exactly the right level of stakes.
Yes,
that
talk me through that, Av. How did you feel about Larry's whole protocol, his process for the mini bar? Is this an ideal job? Do you want to, like, stock a mini bar? It does seem kind of fun.
Yeah, I would love this job.
It's
right? If somebody would pay me money to go to the supermarket and buy snacks and just present them and defend why they're good snacks. And I'll say, like, I'm Team Larry here. Like, I would rather you swing for the fences on a mini bar. Like, if I open a mini bar, I don't want to see M&Ms in there. Like, I could get M&Ms anywhere.
Two kinds of olives in the mini bar?
Yeah, I don't know if you need two types of olives. But, like, give me the figs. Give me the Parmesan.
No, no figs. He lost the job on the figs.
I am approval. Fully on your side on that, Keeve. Like, and I'm not even like I can do a fig. Like, figs got their time and place. They could be delicious, but they don't belong in the mini bar.
No. Wasabi cheese, I understand trying.
Yeah. When I open a mini bar, I want to see something interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I'm very much the opposite. I despise mini bars in general. And I've actually noticed in the last few years that mini bars seem to be kind of over. Most hotels I've stayed at now just have the empty mini fridge where you can put your own stuff, which to me is 1,000 times better. I'd much rather have the space for my own choices of food rather than pay exorbitant rates for food I don't really want. And it's even worse. Remember, like, back in the day where, like, they were each sort of digitally, like, if you moved it even a slight centimeter, you get charged for it.
Yeah,
that was $11 for me.
I've pulled a move where I've taken stuff from the minibar and then gone to, like, the local Walgreens and replenished it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's electronics. That probably
I got in major trouble once for removing all of the contents of a mini bar and then using it. I was on like a work trip. It was like a comic book convention that I was covering, and like a bunch of friends of mine and myself, like, we just like used the mini bar for the beers for the weekend.
Right.
And like, we got charged so much money.
Yeah, the key is you just have to tell them that you're kosher. If you say you're kosher, they can't do anything to you.
Yeah, that's a good point. They can't even ask.
I spent like almost a month in a hotel this summer, and imagine the sadness of like, and they didn't have the mini bar. I think, as Alex said, they're getting rid of it. And like, they're so tapped for space. Like, give you the fridge, and like, why spend room on like this thing that nobody really wants? You can get your own food. If you really want to spend a ton of money on food, like, just order room service. Like, imagine the sadness of coming back every day for like a month and looking at like the same four food items, but not eating them every single time. It's like,
that's
like
hard.
The Lay's potato chips just like taunting you for weeks at a time. It would be so sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now what they do is they put the bottle of water on like the counter, which is like $5 if you open it.
No.
Yeah. Honestly, Chester, that gets me. That gets me a lot. Like, I open, I'm like, shit. Oh no, I did it. I shouldn't have done it.
It's sometimes they're free. It's never clear, honestly.
It's not, and that's a problem. Free, yeah. That's a problem.
No, because
then, like, to clarify
be...
it, what, are you going to call downstairs? Like, I don't want to talk to a person.
No, there's usually a tag that says something like, if you're a silver elite status, then enjoy this complimentary bottle of water. And it's like, oh, wow, so if I stay in your hotel 27 more times, I'll get a $2 bottle of water. What a win.
Yeah. Chester, do you rock the middle? Are you? Can people put you in the middle? Is it a good spot for you at the table?
I think I do okay in the middle. It's not my. Yeah. It's not my first choice. My first choice is to be in the like the opposite of the host. Like, the host generally seats at the head, so I want to be on the second head.
Okay.
Because like you get more space. I like space.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say, you get more respect, which I think is also true. Like, you're putting at like either one of the heads of the table, and suddenly I feel like your profile has risen.
Right. That's true. The risk is you can get like boxed in with undesirables.
Yes.
Like, if the two people next to you are not people that you want, then like the meal is ruined.
Yeah. The corner spots are tricky. The corner spots are really, really scary.
Now, prior to this episode, I've never heard of the concept of the middle. Like, usually it's the two heads that are sort of the most important primary positions for leading the socializing. So I thought it was sort of strange that they decided that the middle, you know, nobody ever wants a middle. You know, as Av just said, you have the least space, and a car, no one wants the middle. You got arms rest issues on both sides. I've never seen the middle as sort of the ideal seat at a dinner party.
I've actually been to Shabbat meals where the hosts specifically sat in the middle because their theory was, you know, the hosts always sit like at the top and then like they end up like not talking to half the table. And like you had these guests over and you didn't even interact with them. So they specifically moved to the middle for that purpose. It also makes sense. You know, they're like the connectors of the meal. They're the only ones that 100% know everybody there.
The thing I enjoyed the most about it was I love when there's an alliance between Larry and Susie, like when the two of them are vibing on the same frequency.
We love that.
And like she calls him in, it's like, this is a huge issue. And he's like, yeah, your dinner party is ruined. You can't sustain the middle. And like, I love, like, can you fix this? He's like, yeah, of course. And his solution wasn't even like especially creative. It was literally just like, you two cannot hold the middle.
He fired them.
He fired them. Yeah. Akiva, have you heard of this concept? Is this something in your experiences that the middle spots are really prime positions?
I've never heard the concept, but that's sometimes what Curb does. They explain things that you sort of knew but never put words to. Like the middling. Now it's like if you were to make a dinner party tomorrow, that you would actually have this in mind, unironically, right, Josh?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
You would actually like use this principle, and
yes,
like sometimes Larry makes sense.
Yeah. Well, you need to have an odd number on each end, right? If you have four people on a side or two people on a side, it doesn't work.
Yeah, it really depends on the number of people at the party. I mean, my wife and I always debate this when we're deciding like how many people to invite for a party. Because like we view it as like if there's what I mean is Shabbat meals. Yeah. So like if you have six people is like one conversation. Everyone's in on it. Once you go past six, it turns into two conversations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So by six, you mean three couples.
Right, three couples.
You're a three couple person. Not to shame those who aren't in a couple.
When you're cooking, you want to try to pack in as many as you want. But then you know it's the.
Well, this question is really only relevant when we're going like plus four people. I guess there's got to be like the middle person to an extent in a five, but I guess that's the head. So like you're really looking at like the six is where the questions about the middle begin.
Yeah, can we talk about
people on the ends, right?
Yeah.
Can we talk about the guest list at this dinner party?
Yes.
Because it doesn't make any sense. Like the Greens are hosting a dinner party. So like the people they choose to invite are Larry David, his ex-wife Cheryl, Larry's cousin Andy and his wife,
who everybody hates every time we see them.
And then some new guy Harry, who I guess is their accountant, and who else is anyone else there? And Freddie Funkhauser.
Yeah, Freddie Funkhauser.
That's this group. This doesn't make any sense.
Well, let's go to the next dinner party.
The next dinner party is even crazier.
Yeah, so that's being hosted by Cousin Andy and Cassie, right?
Yeah.
And now there's a new couple who we've never seen before.
So their cousin's business manager's girlfriend gets an invite to this dinner party.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So that's Greg Schaefer. That's the aforementioned Jeff Schaefer. That's his brother.
That's cool. That's fine.
Yeah, and so I guess he put his brother on the show. And then
has he been on the show before, or this is the first time?
No. This is his, And then the wife is played by Susie Henschel. Sounds like another member of the tribe. I couldn't tell from Googling if she is Greg's real-life partner or not.
I don't think
I'm not supposed to ask.
Yeah. I don't think so. I tried to find that out. I couldn't find any evidence of that.
She's a writer, not an actress, so she might just be in a friend situation. Yeah.
That would make some sense to me, too, in terms of like COVID protocol filming. Like, just bring people that we know are safe and are like in the
book. Right. True.
You know, just fill it out. They're non-speaking roles. Like, it'll be easy.
Is Larry basically Jeff's only client? Like, we rarely see Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of gotten that sense for a while. I don't know, the historians. Are there other clients?
He almost signed Ricky Gervais, but that didn't work out.
Yeah.
Yeah, there might be a couple others.
He would have signed Clive Owen.
Same situation.
Oh, yeah, Clive
Owen. Almost
signed
Ben Affleck. Same situation. Every time he has another possible client, Larry basically ruins it.
Larry doesn't let him have a second client.
Which I always argue just like adds further like interesting angle to like the whole like Susie Larry dynamic that like this is like Larry's like literally your only source of income. And like the way that Susie treats Larry just like takes on a whole next level.
It is wild. Yeah. Imagine if your significant other, Josh, like you had a boss.
Yeah.
Imagine if like every time, let's say Rob was your boss for the purposes of this, like back in the day or something. Like,
yes.
Every time your wife saw him, she berated him to the point of like just insanity.
Yeah.
You'd be like, like we can't eat tomorrow.
We can't go. We can't go over.
Right. Like there's like literally an unlimited number of like managers in Hollywood that will take Larry David's business. Right.
I laughed so hard when they were talking about the stage four cancer survivor and the wisdom that was passed along that got Larry to like lose all of his money to Cheryl or much of his money to Cheryl. And that kept Jeff and Susie's marriage alive. And just like the pure disdain that washes over both Larry and Jeff, I thought was incredible.
Yeah. I think that's like basically my two favorite moments of this episode are just like shots of Jeff, like that one shot of Jeff with that resignation on his face where he realizes he was almost
We're supposed to be together, you know? Yeah.
And then when they're in the supermarket and they're walking to check out and he's just like holding a box of Fruity Pebbles. I love that.
Yeah. Really, really.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Give us some bells and whistles from the pretty good podcast. What would you do right now if this was if you had the full wheel over the show? Let's turn the wheel over to you. Walk us through things that we have not yet done on the podcast.
We haven't discussed yet whether or not Goebbels is the goat.
Oh no.
I think that's that's probably a no. I think that's probably like a 0-4 vote.
Larry even knowing favor. The word goat, like, yeah, he's the goat. Like, he's so
this is
Larry
in my notes.
Never knows the cool lingo.
Yeah.
How many 7-year-olds, how many of our parents have ever would be familiar with the term goat or would use the term goat? Because I'm gonna guess zero.
I think Rabbi Lou would know the term goat.
Well, he's only like 45 because you're
He's not so. I mean, he's 60, yeah. 61. 62,
I think
I could.
He's
around teenagers old.
I could train my parents to use the term. I think it would last very briefly. But I think like for like a solid week, I could imagine the world where they're saying goat.
Yeah.
Like they say, Josh is not our goat child.
Right. Yes. They would say that for sure. Yeah. Like, Ben's the goat.
They quote that line, the bigger the lie, the more they believe it. That was also the tagline quote for, I believe, season 5, episode 1 of The Wire. There's that scene where they do this like whole trick on a suspect with like the copy machine.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's like, you know, every episode has like that like quote. That's like the quote of the episode. And that was there.
Yeah. I mean, it worked for a time. I mean, like they you know, the idea at least seemed like a good one, but then it did get them stuck in the hot dog eating competition world, which I'd be happy to see more of. I think I wouldn't mind like now having a storyline where Larry is like a champion hot dog eater.
We're never gonna find out who won, how many hot dogs he ate. That's not
totally
gonna come up
like
yet.
It's done, but like I would love to see it, Akiva. Yeah. Like I'd be very
deleted
fine
scene if, maybe yeah. HBO on YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also I really love that they come back to that because like Alex and I have noted that like there's many episodes where like it ends on something that's like seems unnecessary to like go back to something else, and here I thought it worked perfectly. Like they could have ended on like Larry walking out after they say like we're in on Maria Sophia and going back to the hot dog eating contest. I thought it was like a great note to come back to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like what would have, I mean, maybe is the episode like, is this another instance of just like not like the best name for the episode? Like the mini bar stuff was fun, but like, I don't think like, I don't know. Like I would probably call this like the big lie or something like that. Maybe, you know, like
the hot dog eating contest,
the hot dog contest, maybe the or like the audition tape,
even the jacket, which is, you know, a big, we don't really see much of the jacket, but it's a big part of the.
Is that Chekhov's jacket? Like, is the jacket like being filed away to return at a later date? Who
will
took the
we
jacket?
See the jacket again?
Do we think Angelina was not sufficiently aggressive in getting the jacket?
Yeah, who took it? Who took the jacket? Yeah,
maybe Ted.
Accidentally sharing my screen.
Maria Sophia, can I have your jacket? Can I have your jacket?
Josh, you're ticking off all my notes in sequence. I was going to ask about the name of the episode. I was going to ask about the jacket, if we'll see that again. Yeah, I'm very impressed with you right now.
Now, you go next on your notes, and I'll tell you if that's where I was going to go next.
Oh, I was going to make a reference to the Jets driving Larry to door slamming. And ask Av and Akiva whether,
I've been there.
How many doors they've slammed because of a Jets game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll say that was there. That was the one of the couple things that I really didn't like about this episode. The whole like door slam gag, I thought was kind
didn't
of
go anywhere in the end.
Kind of silly.
I thought when he like squeaked the last time he squeaked the door, like in Curb fashion, usually like that would be like, what if he does that? Here, we're rewriting the episode. He does that, and someone off the street comes in and takes the jacket because he didn't close the door properly. And that's where the jacket is. You know, it's by the front door and it gets swiped.
So, will we get a flashback in the future episode?
Yeah, I think this is a significant unresolved mystery.
Single episode of Curb must have something that has never previously been mentioned that all of a sudden is mentioned nonstop. So last episode was Larry's towels. So this episode it's Larry's door slamming.
Yeah,
everyone knows about it. He's door deaf.
Are any of you door deaf? Do you feel like you're door?
I'm a car door slammer.
Good? Yeah, that's dangerous. I feel like Akiva. Mm. Like that's. Mm-hmm.
Not on purpose. I just never, I've never really figured out the appropriate, you know, amount of power to use. Maybe I'm too strong for my own good.
Yeah. I might be numb to door slams. When I was a kid, my sister's like go-to move when she was like having a meltdown was she would just like go to her room and like slam her door 100 times in a row. Yeah. Like, like for an hour, she would just keep opening and slamming her door. Like that was like,
you're desensitized at her house.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't even hear door slams anymore. I think.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. How do you just feel about doors generally after that?
I try not to walk into them, but other than
that. Well, yeah, that opens up a whole other can of worms. Yeah. You don't want anyone to look at you.
His wife had him on the couch for years.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, guys, we've been talking for like 40 minutes here, and we have yet to mention Leon.
Yeah.
Leon had the line of the episode, right?
Tap water?
They effing jerk the mushroom.
Yeah, that was an LOL for me.
Yeah.
I love his water. One of his best.
Yeah, the tap water is a great idea. The flyer is also great where like it has three questions and the third question is your name Mary Ferguson? Like you want to lead with is your name Mary Ferguson?
We are for sure going to Asia with Leon and Mary Ferguson, right?
Like, I hope so.
At this point, it is going to be so disappointing if we don't.
In COVID time on location,
I know.
You think we're going?
No.
It's going to be tough. Yeah.
I know. So they have to have like a really funny payoff for like why it doesn't work out.
Mm-hmm. So if I set the over under at 0.5 more Mary Ferguson's this season, Josh is definitely going over. What if I set it at 1.5? Will we get at least two more Mary Ferguson's this season?
Right, Josh? I mean, Mary's because I like Leon's in every episode. He's not like Ted Danson, you know? So like, I think even in this episode, like they did something smart, which is they got Garland and Leon to go shopping with him, which didn't really make sense, but it makes sense in terms of comedy. Like, just let the A-team roll through a supermarket and have fun for a few minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Mary Ferguson stuff is clearly the Leon story. So I think that, like, I think maybe, like, I can imagine, like, third time's the charm. And so, like, the third Mary Ferguson could take. But at the very least, like, we are going to be hearing about, we're going to hear the words Mary Ferguson in every episode of this season. Like that's not a question for me. But whether we're going to have more than one, I think I would take under. I think there's going to be one more Mary Ferguson is going to be my take.
What about you, Keith? Yeah. What do you think?
I think I'd go over, but you know, I wouldn't bet Larry's you know, guest house on
sort of like speed dating, like another speed dating round. And so there's montage, you know, like a maybe cavalcade of Mary Ferguson's like that. I'm not counting, but like as far as like flesh and blood, three dimensional Mary Ferguson characters. One more. We'll do
what about
one.
Somebody changes their name to Mary Ferguson? I think that happened once with like
that seems like the easy fix here. Just like find someone you like and then just
what's
have
that easy to change your name.
Emily, my wife had a take that she thinks that by the end of this, the part of Mary Ferguson will be played by Maria Sophia, and that she will wind up going to Asia with Leon. That's the part of a lifetime.
Interesting.
I like that.
That's a good one. We got to track that now.
Yeah.
I mean, Jeff Schaefer in an interview before the season, like described this episode as like this season as like a puzzle within a puzzle within a puzzle. So it's like I feel like nothing is off limits in this season.
Nothing is safe. No one is safe.
I think, by the way, that's also a reason why this episode was so good, because there was a bunch of stuff in the first two episodes that didn't make sense to us that started to get connected. So, for example, one of Av and my big questions in episode one is like, why the hell are they at Netflix instead of HBO? Why would HBO even allow that? Now we see it's because they're going to go through each one and they're sort of like trashing each one out the door.
Do you think Hulu had to approve like, hey, we're going to go to Netflix. When that fails, in our moment of desperation, we're coming to you. And Hulu was like, fine.
I don't think they need permission.
Because I don't think Apple TV would allow it or Disney Plus would allow it being second after Netflix. Like the
plan. I mean,
if Disney has a good sense of humor about themselves, they're like, oh, yeah, I mean, like Netflix before Hulu.
There's no downside to getting free advertising on HBO Max.
Yeah. I mean, I think Hulu knows they're not Netflix.
Yeah. But I even think like Disney, from like the top down, like even like, oh, yeah, well, Hulu's only got like five more years at most. Mm. So, you know, like we can make a joke out of that.
But here's another example. So in the first two episodes, we have, you know, the extremely diverse group of network assistants at Netflix.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And there's never a reference to it. And it's just sort of, you know, hanging out there like a big matzo ball. And we're like, how come Larry hasn't, you know, made any comment here? It's obviously
put his foot in the mouth or something.
Yeah. So, right. And so now in this episode, we got a little bit of that with the pronoun thing and then with the Jewish thing. And so, again, I just think like we're starting to see like, you know, they've left us little breadcrumbs in the first couple of episodes. And maybe we were, in hindsight, maybe we were judging them a little bit harshly. And maybe when Av and I do our rewatch of season 11 in 2026, we'll be a little bit higher on those first two episodes.
Yeah. Although they do a very nice misdirect, I thought, where they're like, Larry assumes diversity and is wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes. Right. Right.
Yeah.
I don't think you would have done that before.
But
then,
Larry
doesn't
says, get the fuck out of here when they say they're not supposed to do something. Larry doesn't care.
Right? Yeah. But that's his place to say about Jews, right? He's like, yeah, it's fine.
Oh, it's because he says that about Jews. Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
What is your guys' take on the hot dog eating? Akiva, I have very good hearing when it comes to you whispering about me on the podcast.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
What is your guys' take on the hot dog eating contest as an idea? Like Larry gives it to Patton Oswalt to Harry as the way, you know, as the thing to text the girl.
Oh, as a dater. Yeah.
Well, I thought it was a good joke. And then, like, it's not received that way. And I think for me in that moment, like, then I would have to explain the joke. And, like, I wouldn't commit to the lie. I would explain the joke. And I think that, like, the fact that I have to explain that I wasn't being serious, like, kind of, like, tells me, like, where we're at in the situation. Like,
I think usually you'd get, like, oh, that's funny. And then, like, you could text the picture of hot dogs or be like, hey, I had 12 after. You're not usually going to get like, can I come with?
No. I don't think you can send the pictures of the hot dogs and expect a favorable reaction. I think I think he's getting greedy with the if he's now sending the hot dog pictures.
Anybody who's even 1% interested, if you're on like Hinge or whatever and this comes up, you're getting a response back about like that is a good idea. I don't know comedically. But like that is a conversation starter. You know, if you're in the middle, you're talking about the hot dog eating contest. You're getting responses.
Definitely, for sure.
I was a bit confused in terms of like how they end up at this dinner party, because like the whole idea is we're gonna go for drinks. She's in. Then he says dinner, and she ghosts him for 2 days. Then he's like, oh well, just kidding about dinner because I have the hot dog eating contest the next day.
Oh yeah.
So why do they end up at a dinner party that night?
Yeah.
The night before. Yeah, that's a good point.
I didn't know he was a big celebrity who does hot dog eating contests.
Uh-huh.
Now she's in.
Yeah, now she's hooked. Now
maybe she hates watching people eat, and she knows he's not going to eat because he's saving himself for the hot dog.
But she really wants to go to the competition, so she must not be.
Yes.
Yeah,
I guess that's true. Yeah, that's a flaw in my logic. She's going to watch him eat.
Yeah. What else from the episode? What haven't we hit? Probably a lot.
Leon stole a dog?
Wait, Leon stole a dog? I missed that.
Well, he says he kept the dog for 6 years. So, but that implies, what, he returned it after 6 years?
Yeah, I don't know. He says he found the dog and he kept it because he liked it. And then, like, he would see the signs referring to the dog that he was currently in possession of, and he would just like, laugh at it and keep it.
I want to be really respectful here, especially coming off of the heels of the Angel Muffin episode, so I don't want to get Dylan O'Brien mad at me. But, like, we're still putting the poster up at year six?
Right.
It's also a very risky, you know, like stealing a dog in the neighborhood in which you live is kind of like, you know, trying to commit in-person voter fraud in your own neighborhood. Like, you're risking that you're going to be caught by the person putting up the very sign that you're walking past with that dog.
It's a bad strategy.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you can just immediately say, oh, I just found it. I was walking over to return it.
Yeah. Leon doesn't necessarily always think things through.
Yeah. I mean, but it works out for him for the most part. So,
for the most part.
Yeah.
Any episode rankings or anything you want to do here? You want to save that? You want to hang on to that?
We could do that.
We don't have to save anything from you. We can.
How do you do this? Where do you want to? What's the data that you need to? Input?
We do. Well, we do rankings on a 0 to 5 pretty good scale. We do a come with guy, and we do a fucking asshole.
Yeah, let's do it.
Say fucking asshole on this podcast.
Yeah, well, you've done it now twice, so let's keep. You know, we'll keep doing it. If you remember to self censor, that's awesome. But if you don't, you know, it's a Curb Your Enthusiasm podcast.
Yeah, sure. It's the name of the award. So
lead us through it. You want us to give from a 0 to 5.
Yeah, 0 to 5, pretty good scale. 5 being the highest.
Relative to other episodes of Curb.
I mean, I would give the mini bar, like, I feel like that's like a like, I'll go in like increments of 0.5. So, like, is a 3.5 too low? I mean, I think like it was a million.
We got to hear you say it. I got to hear you say it.
It's a pretty good.
That's a right?
How do you guys like do halves? You do.
Yeah.
We have a divergence. We do a different way.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I've been on the
word
show,
very
but
quickly,
remember.
Or you can say the first half of the word.
Yeah.
Your choice.
I think like the first half of it. Like, I feel like it was, I really enjoyed it, but I also enjoyed the first. I'm very easy to please with this show. Like, I'm kind of like, I'm like yes or no with Curb Your Enthusiasm. And I'm like very rarely a no.
I think
I'm like, I'm being like gun shy of like, I don't want to say this is like a transcendent episode. It was the best episode of the season so far, but it's episode 3.
Yeah. I think particularly with like late era Curb, it's like very hit or miss.
Yeah.
I'm pretty. This is normally like a 3.25 out of 5 episode or 3.5. But coming off the heels of last week, they just needed like, a win after a loss. So the fact that this was good and also sets this table better, even though it wasn't just like a table setting episode, than the last two, to me is like it's a season saver. So I give it 4 out of 5.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm right there with
you. This was bad. We might like Josh and I, like, if this episode just had nothing, Josh and I like might have had a conversation after. It's like, do we need to cover all that? You know, but, like, this I think saved it. Like, all right, yeah, we could keep going.
Yeah,
I'm right. Has to give us a reason to keep watching.
Yeah. I'm right there with Keeve. I give this 4 pretties. Pretty good. This is, again, like not an all-time great, not an episode that like you need to tell people like, oh, you got to be watching the season of Curb Your Enthusiasm because season 3 was like an all-timer, but a clear cut above what we've seen so far and just like a really enjoyable episode beginning to end with like tons of laughs. I think a couple iconic things like the middling is like a really good concept. Like Elon Gold as like, you know, like the overly Jewish thing, you know, they've done that before, but I thought he pulled it off really well. This is just like a really strong episode of Curb to me. So it's like clearly an above average episode. So I give it a 4.
Yep. And it's almost a clean sweep. We're just half a pretty short from Jeff. Excuse me.
Yeah. You can call me Jeff.
I don't know why I just called
you
Jeff.
Call me whatever you want.
from Josh. Yeah. But I think this episode was pretty good. Better than
I wonder if there's a Jeff Wiggler out there. Is there let's look. And it's definitely gonna be a J-E-F-F. We're not getting like a G-E-O.
The G-E-O-F-F.
Yeah, is there a Jeff Wiggler? No, it just all comes. Oh, there was an Andrew Jeffrey Wiggler.
Yeah. He was born in 1965. Yeah, I'm getting a lot of Josh Wiggler.
I apologize to Jeff Wiggler if you're out there for I buried you on Google. Sorry.
This episode, very good to me. I have it ranked out of the 84 episodes in seasons 1 through 9 and 11 that we've rated so far. I have it at 23.
Oh, that's really high. Okay.
Well, yeah. I gave it four out of five. That's what it means, right?
I mean, that's pretty bad if that's like the highest rank from season 11, probably, though, right? Like, if it doesn't get better than this.
I mean, if I had to guess, and that's an interesting game you're challenging us with, Josh, or should I call you Jeff?
You can call me Jeff.
Of the 10 episodes of this season, where do you think this will end up being in the ranking of the 10? I'm going to say it's going to end up being the second best episode of the season. I think we'll get one better, but I'm not going to be greedy and ask for two.
That's a good question.
Yeah, I mean, if this is lower than that, that would be fantastic. That means it's a really great episode, great season of Curb. Yeah, I mean, I would hope we get two or three or four or five episodes better than this. But yeah, this is going to be one of the best episodes of the season, I think.
Top three. I'll say.
Yeah,
top
if this is
three.
Third, I'll be fine.
Yeah, I'll be happy if this is three. All right, come with guy. We all get all one right. pick.
Yeah, I'll go first. I'm going to say that my come with gal is Maria Sophia. I didn't love her in episode one, but again, just the distance in this episode, whether they're hers or on the page, or she's just all over the place in shocking and hilarious directions. The physical fight that she gets into with Cheryl and then the Ted appearance is, I'm trying to think of like a fist fight in a movie or a show that has like shocked me more. The only one I can think of is in the original Borat movie in like 2007 or whatever. And I saw it at a premiere. So it was a completely packed theater. And when they did like the naked wrestling in the hotel, I like couldn't breathe. I was laughing so hard. Mm-hmm. And this was, you know, not that level. Also, hopefully I'm slightly more mature than I was 14 years ago. Not much. But to me, like she's dynamite. She's like throwing 103 miles an hour and wild, but effectively wild. You don't know what she's going to do next.
Yeah.
Yeah. It hasn't been since Chet Shirt since we saw Ted Danson down on the floor like that.
Yes. It's been a long time.
That's a callback.
Who's your come with, Gaiav?
Yeah, I agree with Alex. It's got to be Maria Sophia. She just like her the physical comedy, the like just like the fierceness that which she approaches, you know, the attempt to get her jacket back. You just got to respect that. I mean, she yells out "Eat them latkes" at one point. I mean, just like she just wins the episode right there if she had done nothing else.
Yeah. I like how she did research on Jews and she said that. I grimaced. I'm like, oh, here comes the anti-Semitism. And all she said is that we use our hands a lot, which we do.
I've been reading up on the Jews.
Yeah. Yeah, the gesticulation is not necessarily off base. Like, I feel that. Like, that's definitely mm-hmm. me. Keith, who's your come with, guy or gal?
Yeah, I think it has to be Maria Sophia. I'll say this. I thought Cheryl Hines had one of her better episodes in years. I thought she was really good.
I'm leaning Cheryl. Because, like, at first it's just, you know, it's another client, right? You know, but, like, She goes for a second round with Maria Sophia. Mm-hmm. Like, that's commitment. Like, this is like a good teacher. She's like not ready to just abandon her student. She says take five and come back.
Yeah,
like
we talked
Cheryl's
about
like real come with in this episode.
Yes. We talked about like giving her storylines that aren't just about like will they or won't they or her new boyfriend. And this is a perfect storyline they picked. They did a good job.
I thought so.
Well, again, they need to find some reason to get her in the show because, yeah, it can't just be will they or won't they anymore. It doesn't, you know, as Av and I were saying, the reason that you become an acting coach is because, you know, you sort of failed out of acting, but you did sign a prenup or you don't have, you know, $250 million. So I don't know why she needs to be an acting coach, but she wants to, and more power to her.
Well, I mean, people want to work. It's not just, but that was a funny thing also where Larry has like a moment of fury when he realizes like, oh, stage four woman is the one who told you not to take the prenup. But
it's even
like
better Jeff's reaction when Susie talks about how they stay together.
Because you think like Larry's going to be mad because like Susie's the bane of his existence. But then they like pan to Jeff and you realize like, oh, that ruined his life.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Are they going to split up again this season? Like, I think they like teasing that. They had the random abortion thing last week.
Yeah, well Jeff recently got divorced in real life and Curb sometimes tries to imitate real life. So maybe.
I really hope not. I really like I don't think that this is a fragile ecosystem. Like we have survived the Larry and Cheryl divorce. I don't know that we should go through Jeff and Susie's divorce. I think it is their horrible, horrible marriage is such a central character on the show. That I would be pretty broken up about their breakup. I'm rooting against that. Thumbs down. Hard pass.
Yeah, I don't think. Look, he survived. He didn't get divorced in the episode when everybody got divorced, right? When Funkman got divorced and when LD got divorced. So I think he missed the boat. Divorces are no longer in.
I think that's done. What's this last one? The F yourself award. What is this?
This is the F and A hole. It's just like the worst person of the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Cousin Andy here. Like, he can't handle the middle. I mean, just like his presence on screen is just like very depressing and pathetic. And like he has to like go to Larry to like grovel to like, hey, would you want to come to our house for a dinner party and serve as the middle to like kind of like make our dinner party work? Yeah, I mean, like you just like you're the FNA all the episode if that's what you're doing.
I feel like it's Jeff. To not to throw myself under the bus, but like to like be on like to like have the idea of like pretending that you have like terminal four, like stage four terminal cancer, and like to come up with that idea to like get out of this pickle is pretty shitty on one, you know, on the first level, but to be the one to act it out, and also to do like a kind of sloppy job about it at first with this, like, I like a waffle with my breakfast burrito stuff, which is just like alien talk. Like, I feel like this was bad from Jeff. Just a lack of options. I think Jeff gets it from me.
Oh yeah, Jeff obviously has been the fucking asshole many times before. Yes. I will note this is the second time that Av has nominated Cousin Andy in the Black Swan.
Well, I mean, Cousin Andy, like, if we never saw him again, it would be too soon.
Yeah, it's true.
Akiva, who is your effing a-hole?
Yeah, I mean, like, Maria Sofia is, like, basically evil. She's so funny, but she's basically an evil character. But, yeah, I think it has to go to Jeff this week.
Oh, wow.
He pretended to be a stage four person just to trick a guy into ruining his business to lose his daughter a job that he has gotten for her.
No, but you guys think it was Jeff's idea? I think it was Larry's idea.
Oh, yeah, it was Larry's idea. That is true. But it's hard, it's hard to give it to Larry every week, and Jeff is the one acting this out, yeah.
Yeah. So last week Jeff cheated on his wife and gave some and had someone get an abortion, but this week he he was worse.
Yeah. I mean, he's pretty bad last week too. But Jeff is usually pretty terrible.
Yeah.
And that's like part of the
But that's why our expectation, like, in order for him to be it, or Larry, or, you know, one of those people, they really have to meet it. Wait, did you say who you wanted, Josh? You said Jeff.
Yeah,
also,
Jeff.
Right?
Yeah, Jeff's warm.
All right, I'm going to do something that I don't know if I've ever done before. If I have, maybe it's only once or twice. I could check my records later. I'm going to give the both awards to the same person. Maria Sofia, she's just...
Why? What did she do? She started. I mean, she physically fought Cheryl.
She punched Armand, who's an old man. Yeah.
She punched her mom.
she attacked. I mean, she's a complete psychopath. Again, it's amazing.
Yeah.
But like in the context of the show, although, you know, I think Cheryl actually, you know, we have a listener, Jared, who always nominates Cheryl no matter what she does. She tried to sink Larry's show, is our theory, right? By sending that tape into Hulu. So that's kind of a dick move by Cheryl.
Interesting.
Although justified considering that Larry sent this crazy person to his house to attack her. But to me, it's Maria Sofia. She's both the comic gal and the effing a-hole of the episode.
I think that works. All right, let's call it here. That was a pretty good podcast, I thought.
I think so.
Only two pretties?
Don't you do the thing where – I think – did I do three?
You did three.
I think I did.
Alex can. Alex doesn't know how to count.
I give it a three. I give it a three. Three pretties. This is pretty good.
I'll take it.
You know, I thought that was fine. Give the plugs again. Where are people finding you? Give the Twitters. Give the podcast plugs. Shout it all out from the rooftops.
Yeah, so we're pretty good. That's three pretties, one good. Drop the three, add the one.
Yes.
You can find us on Anchor, on Spotify, on Apple, on all the other podcast platforms. You can find us on Twitter at – I don't even know what we are on Twitter. What are we, Pretty Good Curbot or something? I don't know.
Just Google pretty good Curbot.
I'm at A. Sinensky. What are you at? You're at Achester99.
Yeah.
You could email us with any questions, feedback, comments, criticisms at curbpostman@gmail.com. And we'll read your comments on the podcast no matter what you say. We're obligated by the bylaws of the podcast.
You read everything that comes your way?
Yeah, well, we don't get that as many as many emails as some other podcasts. But yeah, we read everything.
We get fewer than you'd think.
Yeah, we read everything.
And I still
we don't read the ones feedback. That there's some that are not intended to be read on the air. But yes. So we won't read it against your will on the air.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I should. Our Twitter is at Pretty Good Curb.
Subscribe to the pretty good podcast and be a part of half of the Curb Your Enthusiasm podcast audiences.
Yeah,
true. And you got 80 plus episodes to catch up on if you're so inclined.
Do you remember which episode, Josh? Which episode were you on?
Oh God, I don't remember. Was it something? Was it the weatherman?
No, no, it was the carpool lane.
The carpool lane.
I don't remember what episode.
Because of Hurley.
With Hurley. Hurley was on there. Keeve was on the dog sniffing corpse. Season 3, episode 7.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
That makes sense. Yeah.
And then you hang up on people during the podcast. Isn't that like the bit?
No, I don't think we've done that.
Didn't you hang up on me or something like that?
No, I don't think so.
You think of Rob with Randy?
No. No.
I don't know.
There's like something where like Chester, you guys say do a line bit? And then the podcast is done.
No.
Do a bit?
Yeah. The podcast ends with us saying a sentence which leads into Larry saying the words pretty, 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 pretty good.
Which is the worst thing we've ever done because it forces us every single week to try to like shoehorn some way into end the podcast.
I just want everyone to know at that point when Chester said the words pretty, pretty, pretty good, I removed him from the voice call and he is no longer eligible to speak on the podcast.
Can I plug our guest last week, Deidre, got Angel Murphins.
Yes, that's right. Angel Murphins is in the universe. Congratulations, Angel Murphins. Congratulations, Deidre. Fantastic stuff. Really, really, really terrific. Do you end a podcast after saying really, really, really terrific?
You could.
All right. Keeve, anything else to plug? Renap, what's going on?
Renap, this week we did 5 different episodes. In one, we had Nicole's sister Nito make her debut. Puya came on. Some were good, some weren't, but you know, there's a new episode every week.
That's great. Listen, win some, you lose some. It's okay.
It's still
32 fans with the formerly of this episode, Alex Chester.
Yeah.
And GOG.
He's back in the Stone Age with the Flintstones. Now that you're the only one from the Pretty, Pretty, Pretty Good podcast on the podcast, you get to choose if you want to be Fred or Barney.
I'll be Barney. Fred is too high stakes. Okay. Yeah. I think I'm going to be on NGOG next week, actually. So.
Ooh.
Wow.
Was that a scoop? Was that a spoiler, Keeve? Did you get a scoop?
I don't know. We have a doc, but I don't always check it. So
yeah, fair enough. All right, we'll always check with your doc. All right, so much happening on Post Show Recaps. Tons of podcasts: Succession, Insecure, Curb Your Enthusiasm. We have the whole HBO Sunday Night lineup. We've got Dexter podcasts. The show returned. It was fine. We'll talk about that. Plenty of other things happening on PSR. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts. We'll close it out here. We'll be back next week. Episode 4. Episode 4 is called
The Watermelon.
Watermelon. I'll bring Chester back for speculation on the watermelon. Chester, any speculation on the watermelon?
So at the end of our episodes this week, this season, for season 11, what we've been doing, Av and I, is we've been playing the trailer for the next episode on the air live. So, I saw the link on YouTube for the trailer. I haven't seen it yet, so I know nothing about it yet. But I will guess that a watermelon will be involved.
I'm not against that. Larry is pivoting from a hot dog eating contest to a watermelon eating
contest. Oh, yes.
He's just becoming a professional competitive eater. Mm.
Yes. Yes. I mean, he could be a watermelon champion. That'd be all right. That'd be fine. Hot dogs. I would eat 10 hot dogs sooner than I could eat a full watermelon
in 10 watermelons.
One watermelon in 10 minutes. I like my odds against 10 hot dogs better. I feel like one watermelon is too much food to eat.
I've never eaten a watermelon in my life. So
what?
Wait, what? What are you, Tom Brady?
I think this requires a separate
podcast.
We are putting a pin in that. We will talk about that next week. I'm going to wrap it up here. Take care, everybody. Yes. Bye.
Emergency podcast at 30.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.